Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another in our series of Ogletree Deacons California COVID Podcasts. Today, we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and staffing agencies. My name is Charles Thompson. I'm a shareholder in the San Francisco office. I do trials and also am co-chair of the Leave of Absence Practice Group. With us today, we have Christian Keeney and Patty Matthias, who are shareholders with our Orange County office. They are members and leaders of our firm's staffing agency practice group, and they represent staffing agency clients of all sizes. They regularly partner with the California Staffing Professionals Association and present at their functions. They help staffing agency clients avoid lawsuits and minimize risk by reviewing staffing agreements by drafting their temporary employee policies and personnel documents. They also defend clients in single plaintiff and class action cases involving theories of joint employer liability. I've had the pleasure of working with both of them in the Orange County office, and I think that you will enjoy today's presentation. Christian, Patty, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Charles. We look forward to podcasting with you today.
All right, Christian, let me start off and ask you a question. So what are some of the unique challenges that staffing agencies have had to deal with as a result of the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, due to the temporary nature of the work, there are more variables involved in ensuring a healthy workforce. You could have temps placed on assignment at multiple work sites in a short period of time, which increases the opportunities for exposure both to temps and the other workers and employees at the work sites they're assigned to. There's also time between assignments that may be significant, where the staffing agency has no visibility into what measures a worker is taking to avoid exposure before they are required to place them at their next assignment. Screening of applicants for COVID at application centers prior to assignments is also a challenge. Some agencies are requiring online or app-based screening for symptoms and exposure before allowing temps to apply in person. Agency clients will often have their own screening protocols, which are not necessarily uniform, so temps may be subject to multiple screening protocols. There's also the challenge for the staffing agency, which may have its staff working remotely in processing applications and onboarding documents. Removing and returning infected or exposed workers from client sites can pose a challenge. And layoffs and WARN notices are tricky sometimes with temporary workers. The question often arises of whether WARN notice needs to be given to temporary workers, and if so, who gives it?
Okay, sounds like a lot of things that staffing agencies have to deal with and their clients as well. And sounds like both you and Patty have been dealing with all of those issues.
Yes, we've had unfortunately, extensive amount of experience advising on COVID-19 related issues. Certainly at January 2020, this is not what we anticipated spending most of the year doing, but like everybody, we're adjusting.
Okay. Patty, next question. I want to ask you a question about screening applicants and workers. And so what are you seeing staffing agencies do to screen applicants and workers for COVID-19?
That's a great question, Charles. The agencies themselves are subject to the same requirements and use the same protocols as any employer, which we're probably all familiar with, such as symptom questionnaires, temperature checks, and the like. What's truly unique with staffing is that agency clients may have their own screening procedures that they require of temporary employees who are placed on their site. An issue that's been coming up quite a bit is who's responsible for paying the temps if screening time is compensable. So the California Division of Labor Standards Enforcement recently opined that if an employer requires workers to perform a medical check, so such as a temperature check, on site at the beginning of a shift, the time completing the medical check, including if they're required to wait in line, would constitute work time, and therefore it's compensable. So if an agency client is performing these types of temperature checks and has temps waiting in line to submit to it, an issue we've seen is whether temp workers are clocking in for it and being paid properly, and who's responsible for tracking and compensating that time. Similarly, another issue is who's responsible for addressing worker inquiries or concerns about screenings and protocols. A big one that's been coming up quite a bit is what happens if a temporary worker reports to a client site and then doesn't pass the client screening requirement. So the California DLSC recently said that if an employer requires a medical check on site before the start of the shift and then sends the employee home after failing or recording a high temperature, reporting time pay is generally due. For staffing clients, this is really a big one because who's responsible for that reporting time pay? And is the staffing client even learning that this has occurred, that a worker was sent home early? We've also seen expense reimbursement questions coming up. Temporary workers might be required by a client site to use a certain cell phone application to pre-screen. They're also required to have face covering. So who's responsible between the agency client and the agency for these expense reimbursements? And what's most important here is that staffing agencies and their client communicate about these issues to ensure compliance first, and second, a clear delegation of responsibility. We've been reviewing staffing agency agreements and also revising and amending them to address these issues. So basically, communicating and revising agreements up front will avoid a lot of issues and minimize potential exposure down the line.
Patty, great. I think the DLSE or the DIR document you're referring to is frequently asked questions about the California COVID employer playbook for a safe reopening that came out at the end of July, I think, 28th or 29th. So, yes. Christian. Yeah, okay, great. So, Christian, back to you. How are staffing agencies processing applications and onboarding new employees when agency staff are, well, I guess they are, aren't they often working remotely?
Yeah, this is one of the issues that was really tricky from a practical perspective, especially early on when the shutdown orders and shelter-in-place orders came into effect. The temporary workers for many of these staffing agencies often are considered essential workers because of the kinds of businesses and industries that they're assigned to. However, the corporate and branch staff of staffing agencies may not be, and may also be the case that for just from the agency's perspective, they would prefer to have those workers working remotely rather than have them in person working in branches and coming into contact with a number of people that would be in and out of the branches. So one of the things that we had to grapple with just from a practical level was how do they process applications? How do they still bring in temporary workers, make sure that they're authorized to work, and get them out onto work sites if they're not actually in the branches? So what we've primarily seen are two different approaches. One is for the agencies that continue to have staff working out of branches, those branches look very different than they used to. There's usually going to be new protocols in place, such as screening prior to branch entry. There may be limits on the number of applicants who can be in a branch at one time. There's typically distancing within branches, and then physical barriers like plexiglass or markers that tell people where to stand within the branch. Now, for the agencies that have people working remotely, there's been a big shift to online applications and virtual interviewing and onboarding. So we've seen things like Skype and Zoom interviews become very prominent, as Zoom and Skype have become for all of us during this time. And the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, actually changed the regulations on the review of I-9 employment verification documents. It used to be the case that it was required that those employment verification documents be reviewed in person by the hiring entity. That regulation has changed as a result of COVID so that the documents can be reviewed remotely using technologies like Zoom and Skype. So those are some of the major changes that we've seen as a result of COVID in terms of how they're processing applications and onboarding new workers.
Okay. Patty, some of my clients and some of the questions I get, particularly right now, is, well, okay, how are we supposed to handle our employees who are COVID positive or have been exposed, and how do we return them to work? So how do the staffing agencies these days, what are you recommending as to how they handle removing infected or exposed workers and returning them once they're able to return to work?
Sure. Well, staffing agencies and their clients have really unique challenges here. One area unique to staffing is the communications, really, in partnership between an agency and an agency client if there is an infected worker. So, for example, this is a question that we get quite a bit. If an agency becomes aware that one of its temporary workers has been infected or exposed, does the agency have an obligation to tell its client where that temporary employee has worked? And should they do so? So if an agency becomes aware that a worker test positive or has been exposed, they should absolutely advise the client that one of their temporary workers who'd been assigned there has tested positive. And the notice should be as much information as necessary to identify any areas that need to be cleaned and any part of the workforce that may have been exposed. That's because the agency client may have its own direct employees who came into contact with the temporary worker. Now, the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing has provided some guidance on the content of notices. And the notices should be in a way that do not reveal personal health-related information of the infected employees. So, for example, notice to employees who may have been in contact with the worker would just be something along the lines of, we've learned that an employee at, you know, whatever the location tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. The employee received positive results of the test on X date. This communication is to notify you that you have potentially been exposed to COVID-19 and you should contact your local public health department for guidance and any possible actions to take based on individual circumstances. Now, on the flip side, we also routinely represent clients who use staffing agencies. And an issue comes up if, what if a client has a direct employee who tests positive and they use staffing agencies? Do they need to tell the staffing agencies? And here, communication should be both ways to ensure everyone's safety. And it may be because that temporary employees were exposed, the client's direct employees, and the temporary agencies need to contact those temporary workers. Another question comes up is it necessary to advise a client site if a temporary worker has some symptoms like a cough but isn't diagnosed with COVID? It's not necessary if they just have some symptoms, but the worker should be taken off assignment until it's safe for them to return. Now, the California Department of Public Health has issued employer guidelines for addressing a workplace outbreak, and that's why it's so important the staffing agency and the work makes the worksite aware of any COVID diagnosis so that the worksite can follow those guidelines. Now, as far as returning temporary employees to work after infection or exposure, it's very important to note an agency client can't refuse to accept a worker based on a previous COVID diagnosis. So we've had temporary agency clients come to us and say, you know, it's safe for this worker to go back to their assignment, but the client site doesn't want to accept them. That's improper. They should accept the worker back once it's safe to do so. And here again, what's most key is communication between staffing agencies and clients.
Okay. All right. And Kristen, you mentioned, I think in your first answer, a little bit about WARN or CalWARN notices. So I don't know if you or Patty want to take this question or both of you. What about a WARN notice if a client is laying off temps or shutting down a work site? I mean, is a WARN notice necessary?
So
if so, who gives it?
So fortunately, this is a question that we have had to deal with much less than we were dealing with it in, say, March or April, as there were a number of facilities that were closing and layoffs that were occurring then. The thing that's unique in terms of staffing with respect to the WARN notices is temporary workers will often go to multiple work sites and assignments during the course of their career with a staffing agency. So if a facility that they're working at closes, or if that work site conducts layoffs, from the perspective of the staffing agency, that doesn't end the employment relationship between the agency and the temp. Rather, it's just another way of ending an assignment. And you wouldn't give WARN notice to temps simply because their assignment ended. Their employment relationship with the agency continues. So generally, what we would advise is to try to place those workers on a new assignment as soon as possible, but that WARN notice is neither required nor necessarily advisable.
Okay. Hey, Patty, Kristen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. A lot of great information that I'm sure our listeners can use.
Thank you, Charles. Everyone, we appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. You two are welcome back anytime. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You can expect another California COVID podcast within the next week to 10 days. And let's be safe out there. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.